Isaiah chapter 49, we're going to read verse 13. I realize that the preaching around here for the past couple weeks has been a little rough, and we've been dealing with some very convicting things, and trying to really encourage you to really take a good evaluation of where you're really standing in your relationship with God, so that it would cause you not to be discouraged, but to want to climb higher and get more of God. But I really, really felt, even the very beginning of the week, the Lord speaking to my heart to preach a series of sermons. I've got two that I'm going to preach this morning and tonight, and then I might be continuing it next Sunday morning and next Sunday night, because as you're going to see real quick, the subject matter we're going to be talking about is inexhaustible. Okay, I mean, it's just something you could preach on and preach on and preach on, and you'd never run out of time. You know, I was just talking to a pastor that I met not long ago, and he was preaching the book of Jeremiah, I think, for a year and a half. You know, he just dealt with it every single service for a year and a half. We're not going to do anything like that. I think that might get a little tedious, and people might, not enjoy that much. But we're going to go ahead and deal with this. I really feel like the Lord wants to encourage us. You know, Brother Boyer this morning mentioned that, I don't know how many times, in his Sunday school lesson, that he wanted to see the saints encouraged. Brother Prysock leading the songs, very encouraging, and I really feel like that's the direction God would have us to go. So, in Isaiah chapter 49, starting in verse 13, or just verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted His people, and will have mercy upon His afflicted. I want you to notice that. For the Lord hath comforted His people. The comfort has already been established. It's already there. The foundation stands. It's whether or not we want to take notice of it and get a hold of it in the way that we should. And I want to talk to you for just a little while this morning on the comforts of a Christian. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name, Lord, and we love You so very much, and we're thankful for all the comforts that You extend towards our lives. In the midst of a world that is so discouraging and tries to beat us down, with all the opposition that we have to face from our flesh, this world, and the devil himself, Lord, I'm thankful that in the midst of it all, we have a God that comforts His people. And Lord, as we're dealing with this subject in this morning's service and even tonight, Lord, I pray that You'd come and do just that. Bring comfort and encouragement to Your people's hearts, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The comfort of a Christian. Now, how many of you know that we all like to be comfortable? It's kind of a no-brainer, right? Like, for instance, we could illustrate this in many, many different ways. Like, if you're going to go out and you're going to buy some new furniture for your family room, you know, where you sit down and you relax with your family, how many people are going to, you know, get two cinder blocks and then get a splintered piece of wood and just set that up against the wall so you can sit on that, you know, and just... No back to rest on, you just sit there after a hard day of work, you come home, you know, just don't... Or how many people would be interested in getting a Lazy Boy that has so much padding that you just sink down into it? My dad got my wife one when we had Bray, and it's just this big old chair. You sit in there, man, and you just, it's just wonderful. And that's what we're interested in. I mean, if we're going to go to sleep, how many people want to lay down on a hardwood floor? We want a comfortable mattress, don't we? You know, one portion of Scripture that has always baffled me is in Genesis chapter 28, verse 18, where it says that Jacob used a stone for a pillow. I'd rather not have one. What's next? A porcupine? Chop off a part of a cactus? I mean, why in the world? Now, I wasn't there. Maybe he put some material over it. I don't know what's going on. But I would have just laid down on my arms, put my hands behind my head. But a stone for a pillow? We're not interested in those things. And you want to know why? Because we want to be comfortable. It's just human nature. But regardless of how comfortable we want to be, how many of you also know that as Christians, there's all different kinds of things we're going to have to face in our lives that's going to take us out of our comfort zone? For instance, how many of you have lost loved ones? I mean, we get excited as the people of God when we read about the rapture and when we sing about it and we think that there's going to come a day when all these things that we have to struggle with are going to be over and we're going to be ushered up into heaven to spend eternity with God. I mean, we get excited about that and we sing, you know, oh, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and we'll shout the victory. But at the same time, our hearts still break when we think about all the people that will be left behind if they don't get their hearts and lives right with God. You know, something else that's not very comforting to us is all the trials and hardships and difficulties and temptations. I mean, however you want to put it, the storms that we have to face in our life. Those things aren't comforting at all, are they? No. How many of you like to deal with sickness and disease? How many of you like to experience financial or marriage trouble? How many of you like to have to fight against your flesh? And when I use that term, the flesh, in case you're here and you don't understand, I'm talking about that sinful nature that we have inside of ourselves that wants to rise itself up and participate in things that God clearly says is wrong inside of His Word. Do you like to have that struggle inside of you? No. And the reason why is because those things are uncomfortable. I mean, they rake against our flesh. I mean, they rock our boat. They make our lives difficult. And because of that, we're not interested in experiencing those things at all. What about persecution? You like to experience that because of the things that you believe in? I mean, how many of you have ever had, you know, somebody at your workplace make your long day at work as long as it could possibly be just because of the dirty jokes that they want to have to tell you? Or because they got to come up and tell you, oh, guess what I did this weekend? When they know you're not interested in the filthy things they did that weekend. I used to have a guy that would take perverted pornography magazines and lay them all over the place just so when I'd walk by, I'd have to see it. I mean, there's people that go out of their way to make our lives difficult just because of the things that we believe. What about people in your family that make family gatherings almost unbearable? Because they constantly got to argue with the things that you believe. I mean, you don't bring up the things of God because you know where it's going to go and you don't want to argue. You want to just have a nice, peaceful time. But they'll constantly say this or they'll bring up that just to get a rise out of you and start up an argument. And if you don't go, because they always have family gatherings on Sundays. Because if you don't go, then you don't love your family. And if you do go, you're a hypocrite that skips church. You like to experience that kind of... It's frustrating, isn't it? And all those things that we've talked about and more are unwanted by every single one of us because they're uncomfortable. We don't like to do it because it doesn't make us feel good. But folks, when you really think about it, when it all boils down, even the very commitment that we have to make as Christians is extremely uncomfortable. And what I mean by that is this. How many of you think it's easy to mortify the deeds of your body like Paul says we're supposed to do? Or to crucify our flesh or to take up our cross like Jesus said daily and follow after Him? You think that's easy to do? What about what we're exhorted to do in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, which is to present our bodies a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable unto God? Anybody just think that's a breeze? No, it's difficult. Because this world is fighting against us, our flesh is fighting against us, and the devil's surely fighting against us. And because of that, there's opposition when we're trying to live right, which makes living for God extremely difficult and uncomfortable. However, there's a lot of people that claim Christianity that would disagree with that point altogether. And they'd say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Following our faith isn't something that's uncomfortable. It's not uncomfortable at all. And here would be my response. When you live by the things that are convenient, instead of really being sold out and consecrated to Jesus Christ and obeying what that book has to say, nothing is uncomfortable. If you start to get in an uncomfortable situation where obeying God would make things kind of tight and you're not really consecrated unto Him and you step back and you just let your faith loosen up, It's not uncomfortable. But the fact of the matter is that's not what the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to. I mean, when you still laugh at the dirty jokes that guys tell at work, instead of rebuking them for saying that filth, and you're not going to be persecuted at all. You're going to fit right in. When you don't take a stand for God, when your own family's mocking Him at your family gatherings, I mean, you're not going to have any problems. I mean, it's not going to be uncomfortable. Because when you leave your cross laying on the ground instead of strapping it on your back like we're called to do, nothing's uncomfortable. Everything's easy. So you're never going to be discouraged. You're never going to be uncomfortable. Everything's just going to be a breeze. But here's what those type of Christians don't understand. When a person chooses to carry their cross and they accept it out of their love for God rather than rejecting their cross because they have an overwhelming love for themselves, they in turn gain more comfort than they could ever possibly imagine. Now I want you to understand, I'm not a lunatic here. I realize that I just said following God can be very uncomfortable. It's hard. It goes against our flesh, the world, and the devil. I understand that I just said that. But at the same time, when you'll obey this book and you'll take a stand for God in the way that He calls us to, we gain more comfort inside of our lives than we could ever possibly fathom. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I'm going to talk to you about that tonight too, and maybe next Sunday morning and next Sunday night. Because like I said, this is inexhaustible. Okay? And I want to talk to you about some of the comforts that we gain by being Christians. Now, as I go into these first three this morning, they're going to seem overly simplistic or kind of basic. But when you think about it, Brother G., all these things are deep and moving. First thing, the first kind of comfort that I want you to take notice of is the comfort that we have in simply knowing that we are saved. The comfort that we have just knowing that we're saved. Now, I'm going to back this up by reading one of the most powerful portions of Scripture on this subject that you could ever possibly read. And while I'm reading over this text, I want you to make everything that we're being told here personal in your own life. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And you hath He quickened, which means to make alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, now I'm going to stop here, even when we were in the midst of that kind of condition, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even while we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now in verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the uncircumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Then in verse 18 it says, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. Now think about what that text is teaching us. It's saying, listen, this is how you used to be considered. It says that you were strangers from the covenants of promise. You were alienated from everything that God was desiring to do in your life. You had no hope. And regardless of what you thought, you did not have God in this world. In other words, it's saying, if you're not in the right relationship with God, you can't have any of the Lord. Did you know that? Did you know that David said in the book of Psalms that if we regard iniquity in our hearts, God won't even hear our prayers? Because with God, it's either all or none. Yes. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, says you either got to make Him Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. And in the midst of a condition where we were completely absent from God, none of His promises applied because we were not in a right relationship with Him. In the midst of all that sin and all that shame we had allowed into our lives, He was willing to forgive us of everything that we've ever done and bring us into a right relationship where everything that He desires for our life could be obtained in full. I'm talking about the comfort that we have in knowing that we're saved. How many of you remember what it felt like the day that you got saved? I remember vividly. For months on end, God was dealing with me about my sin. I mean, I grew up in church. My mom had taught me the right way, but I strayed away from that, wanted to go out and experience a prodigal's life and roll around in the hog pen and all that mess. And I went out and I found out it wasn't everything it was cracked up to be. I can tell you that. And I went out and experienced all that stuff, and all I had was regret and shame. And the Spirit of God came down and started dealing with me so strong for several months, and I knew I needed to be saved. I realized that He was calling me to be saved, but I didn't ever think I'd be able to live right. But one day He pushed past all of my excuses, and He backed me down into a corner in my mother's basement on Park Avenue and said, "I want you to understand, if you will just surrender yourself unto Me, I'll come and take care of the rest." And the minute I said, "Lord, I don't know what You could ever possibly do in me or through me or why You would ever even want me, but if You say You do, then that's exactly what I'm willing to receive." And when I surrendered myself unto Him and I repented of all my sins, there was a lifted load that I felt inside of my life. No more being miserable. No more being sin sick. No more conviction. No more extreme condemnation. I'm talking in an instant, all those things were completely lifted from my life. And I experienced, like we sing, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you remember what that was like? I mean, Brother Boyer will stand and testify about his day under the scaffolding. I mean, how God came down and washed all his sins away. What about? I mean, do you remember what that was like? Folks, we can never forget as Christians that we have the comfort of knowing that our sins have been both forgiven and forgotten by God, never to be remembered against us again. Meaning that despite all those things that we've done, regardless of how wicked and how vile we allowed our lives to be, and we used to be in times past, like those verses were saying, now we have the joy and the comfort of knowing that we who sometimes were afar off, I was as far away from God as a person could possibly be. The only thing, well, there's very few things that I didn't try out and think that sin would have to offer. I was as far away from God as a person can get. But in the midst of that situation, even though I was off in the far country, He brought me right back home where He always intended for me to be. What could be more comforting than that? And with that comfort comes the blessing of a clear conscience. Okay, now this is my soapbox, Brother Boyer. You were talking about yours this morning. The comfort of simply having a clear conscience. Because since we've been redeemed, that means that our minds can rest at ease and we can just rest secure in the salvation that we know we've experienced by faith and also by feeling. Okay? In other words, we don't have to wonder and we don't have to worry where we actually stand before God, but we can be comfortably confident that we are acceptable unto Him in every way simply by believing those verses that I just read to you. As Christians, We can take extreme comfort in knowing that what Jesus Christ commissioned Paul to do has already been experienced in our lives. And notice what he said in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, the commission that the Lord was giving to Paul. He said, I want you to go to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and the inheritance of them which are sanctified by the faith which is in me. That isn't a verse that I just read. That's a verse that I've experienced. I used to be under absolute control of the powers of hell. I'm not talking about full-on demon possession, but I wasn't far away from it. The devil jerked my chain and he'd say drink or he'd say do this and I'd do exactly what he told me to do. You want to know why? Because when you're a sinner, you're nothing more than a puppet of hell. But I'm glad that's not where the Lord wanted to leave it. He said, I want you to go and open up his eyes. I want you to turn him from that darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, so that he can receive forgiveness of sin and then all the inheritance that belongs to the people that simply surrender themselves to me. Mike Kincaid, my favorite poet, Robert Zimmerman, and he said it like this one time. I was blinded by the devil. I was born already ruined. I was stone cold dead as I stepped out of the womb. But by His grace I have been touched. By His word I have been healed. By His hand I have been delivered. And by His Spirit I have been sealed. I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Now in His truth I can live upright. In His strength I do endure. Because in His power I've been lifted. And in His love I am secure. Because He bought me with a price. He freed me from the pit that was full of emptiness and wrath and the fire that burned within. But now I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. No one would rescue me. Nobody would dare. I was going down for the last time. But by His mercy, I've been spared. Not by works, but by faith in Him who called. For so long I was hindered. And for so long I was stalled, but now I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. You want to talk about something that's comforting to us as Christians? It's in us knowing that He is ours and we are His. And when we're talking about the comfort that we get through God because of the relationship that we have with Him through His Son, that's something that the world cannot duplicate and it's something that the devil cannot counterfeit. It's a comfort, it's a joy that Budweiser can't bottle and a drug dealer can't push. Because it is absolutely beyond compare. Nothing compares to being in a right standing with God. The comfort that we have in our hearts, that should that trumpet sound right now, or my heart give out and I fall to this floor, I am in right standing with God. Despite that long list that the devil can bring of accusations of failures I've made in my past, sins that I've committed long ago, mistakes that I've made since I've been saved that I've repented over, despite all that stuff, because I surrendered my heart and life to Him and His grace covers my life as I strive to obey Him, I have the comfort of knowing that despite the enemy's intentions and accusations towards my life, I'm in right standing with God. Nothing is more comforting than that. The second comfort that I want to talk to you about is the comfort of having the Holy Spirit take up residence inside of our lives. Now remember, I said these things are going to be basic, but they're deeper than we could possibly imagine. Notice what we're told in the book of Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Folks, that verse is telling us that as Christians, we have the comfort of actually having the third person of the Trinity take up residency inside of our lives. Now remember, basic but very deep. The third person of the Godhead living inside of our lives. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus said about our relationship with the Holy Ghost and the experience that He wants us to have, starting in John chapter 14, starting in verse 16. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you." Now notice what He said in John chapter 16, verse 7. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." Now, I want you to think about what He was saying there in John chapter 16, verse 7. I'm going to read it again. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient," or more beneficial is the way you could translate that. "It's more beneficial for you that I would go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter," speaking of the Holy Ghost, "will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." Now, hear the Lord saying that it would be more beneficial to us as His believers that He would depart from us in humanly bodily form from this earth and ascend back into heaven so that the Holy Spirit could come and take His place. Why would that be more beneficial? Why? I mean, you hear people say all the time, "Well, if the Lord was just here." I mean, that's what Thomas was struggling with. If I could just see Him, things would be okay. And you hear people say that, "Oh, if the Lord was just here." But here Jesus is saying, no, there's a greater experience that you could receive that would be better than even me standing beside you every single minute of every single day. And that's that I would send My Spirit unto you instead. Why? Well, it's simply because when Jesus was here on earth in human bodily form, He wasn't omnipresent. I'm not taking away from His divinity. I'm just talking strict, clear doctrine of the Gospels. He chose to limit Himself in that way. He was still omnipotent, which means He was all-powerful. He was still omniscient, which means He knew absolutely everything. But He chose to restrict Himself when He took on a human bodily shape and the fact that He could not be everywhere all the time. Or more specifically, He couldn't be with everyone all the time. Now listen to this promise He made about the Holy Spirit. "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." You know, when He said, "Listen, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you." You want to know how that answer, that promise is fulfilled inside of our lives? Through the Holy Spirit. Folks, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. Meaning He can be everywhere all the time, or more specifically, with every single one of us, every single second that we need Him. Folks, the Bible says that the moment that we surrender our heart and lives to Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God literally comes and takes up residence inside of our physical bodies. Our lives become His dwelling place. Paul said it like this, our bodies become the temple of the Holy Ghost. You familiar with that verse? We've all heard it, but we don't understand the depth. That means that the third person of the Godhead lives inside of you if you are saved. Think about that. What could be more comforting than that? You hear people say, "Well, if I just had Jesus to hang out with every single day, things would be so much better." Really? He didn't think so. Because we have to realize that there was a reason that Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to come and reside with us. And it's found in the title that He gave to Him time and time again throughout the Gospel of John. As a matter of fact, in every one of those verses, He gave Him the same title over and over again. And it was the word Comforter, which comes from the Greek word Paraclete, which means someone that assists and enables you to do anything that you need to do. And that means that whenever we need the power to accomplish what God's called us to do, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us will enable us with that power. That means that whatever we have to face or whatever kind of situations we've got to endure, that means that the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that's with us every single minute of every single day, will give us all the strength and the power we need to make it through that trial in absolute victory, regardless of what the devil's trying to do. Amen. That means that no matter where God leads us or what He assigns us to do, He's promised to anoint us with the power, all the power that we'll ever possibly need to be able to accomplish whatever He puts in front of us. All through the Spirit of God that He wants to reside inside of our lives. So having the Holy Spirit isn't just the equivalent of having Jesus Christ standing beside you every single minute of every single day. But it's the equivalent of having Jesus Christ live inside of you every single minute of every single day. Enabling you to do things that you simply could not do in and of yourself. What could be more comforting than that? Third thing that I want to talk to you about is the comfort that we have in the promises and the proven testimonies of God. Now, I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul said about this in the book of Romans chapter 15, verse 4. He said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now, why is Paul saying that we should find comfort and hope inside of the Word of God? Well, it's because inside of the Word of God, we find all the promises that the Lord has extended to our lives. Despite the situation that we're facing, despite how overwhelmed we might feel, despite how impossible the situation might be, we can open up the Word of God, we can view the promises that He extends to His people's lives, and take comfort and hope and the things that we read. And we can have confidence in all those things that we read. Every one of the promises that He extends to our life, because every promise in the Bible is backed with proof that God has power to accomplish it. Did you know that? Now, what's that tell us, just in basic terms? Well, that tells us that when Satan has us surrounded and he's got our back against the wall, it comforts me to know that he did the same thing to Pharaoh and the Hebrews in the book of Exodus. But if God could come down and split the Red Sea in half for them, God can and will come down and do the same thing for me. It means that when you're in the heat of the battle and the enemy's flames are raging all around you, amen, it comforts my heart to know that Nebuchadnezzar had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the same kind of situation. But if God can bring those three men of God through that fire in absolute victory, not even smelling like smoke, then He can come down and do it for me. That means that when all the forces of hell have gathered themselves against me and has surrounded all of our lives in every way as overwhelming as it could possibly be, it comforts our hearts to know that Elisha and his servant was in the exact same kind of situation in Dothan. But the chariots of fire are always going to be more powerful than the chariots of flesh. What could be more comforting than that? He didn't say my life was going to be a bed of roses, and I found that out to be true. But He did promise that He would always be more powerful, and I found that out to be true too. Folks, we can take immense confidence in what we're told by the psalmist in Psalms 119, verse 52. He said, "I remembered thy judgments of old, and I've comforted myself." In other words, I've read this book, I've seen what you've done in the past. I understand the promises that you extend towards my life. I've seen how you've proved that you have the power to do them. And now that I'm in this same situation, I'm not going to fret, I'm not going to worry, I'm not going to give up on my relationship with God, but I'm going to trust Him all the more, and I'm going to allow Him to come down and work inside of my life, just like He did in all those things that I just read about. In other words, what the psalmist was saying is, regardless of what comes my way, I believe in the promises of God Because He's already clearly proved that He has the power to accomplish them. Folks, as the children of God, we can take comfort in His promises. And we can have confidence that He has the power to accomplish, because He's proved it time and time again. God is the master of practicing what He preaches. God is the master of performing what He promises. So we can ask ourselves, why is the Word of God and the promises of God so comforting? Two reasons. Number one, they're available to us. Not just to David. Not just to people we read about in the Bible. To every single child of God, they're available. He extends them towards our lives. Second reason we can find them so comforting is because if He did it for Peter and Paul, if He did it for Moses and Elisha, if He did it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if He did it for Daniel and David, Jacob, Joshua, Elijah, and Isaiah, whoever, Whitfield, Wesley, Brother Holmes, He can come down and do it for Boyer. He can do it for Streeter. He can do it for Ellison. He can do it for everyone that simply surrenders their life unto Him. Basic, but more deep than we could ever possibly imagine. God can do anything. That's a wonderful statement. You want to know how to make it a whole lot better? God can and will do anything for you. I don't care how bad the situation is. I don't care how impossible it seems. I don't care how long it's carried on. I don't care what the devil's intentions are towards its end. This book tells me that God can deliver us out of any difficulty, and that while He's allowing us to go through it, He will give us the strength to be able to endure it in absolute victory. What can be more comforting than that? We say, well, preacher, tell me I'm never going to have my boat rocked. That my life's going to be a big bowl of cherries. I'm never going to have any difficulty. I can't lie to you. I'm a man of God. Ninth commandment, can't break it. Sorry. But I can do the next best thing. Simple statement. Regardless of what the devil throws at you, God can lift you above it. Amen. Amen. Sister, if you go ahead and come to the music. Now, those are just three of the thousands of things we could preach about concerning this subject, okay? When I said that this subject matter is absolutely inexhaustible, I meant it. When we're talking about what kind of comforts do we get from being a child of God, folks, you should just be able to start naming them off over and over and over and over again. And maybe we'll stay on this series for a while. Okay, but here's what I want you to understand. If those three things that we talked about this morning were the only things that would ever be available to us, we'd be completely taken care of. We don't need anything else. Now, there's plenty more. There's hundreds, if not thousands of things more. But if just the three things we talked about in this morning's service was all we could ever receive from God, He'd have us completely covered. I mean, if all He ever offered us was His salvation despite all the things that we've done, to where we could have our sins forgiven and forgotten by God, our iniquities blotted out, and our condemned consciences made clear, if that's all He offered, that'd be fine with me. Because that's all I need to be brought into right standing with Him. And then if all He ever offered us is having the Spirit of God descend into our lives and to live and to anoint us and lead us and guide us and instruct us and empower us to live in victory towards every situation that we'll ever have to face, that's all right with me because I don't need anything else. I don't need a self-help book. I'm thankful for books. I've got hundreds of them. I'm glad for them, but I don't need them. All I need is the Holy Spirit of God. He said He'd lead me and guide me into all truth. Anything that I ever need, He'd lead and guide me into. He'd take care of it. Whatever assignment is placed before me, whether it's resisting temptation or having the power to witness, whatever kind of anointing I'd ever be in need of, He said He'd deliver it. For if all He ever offered us was the comfort of knowing that all the promises that He extends towards our lives aren't empty words. But what He says He means, and it's backed by proof of Him doing it in other human beings. Moses was just a normal guy just like you. As a matter of God, a matter of fact, when God tried to call him, Brother James, all he did is make excuses as to why he could never be used that way. That's how insufficient he felt in and of himself. I can relate to that. Finally, a man of God I can relate to. But we read the name Paul. We read the name Peter. We read about all these great men of God and we think, well, yeah, God came down and moved in their life because that's who they were. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. He gave up his calling and went back to his old occupation. And then he refused to eat with the Gentiles and Paul had to rebuke him to his face. I can relate to all that stuff too because I've failed God many times. You understand what I'm trying to say? I've got to get past those kind of stereotypes and say, God, whatever you say in this book, because you've changed my life and brought me into right standing with you, all of those promises apply to me. If those 3 things were all the comfort we could ever receive, I'd be good with it. But the fact of the matter is that's just scratching the surface. There's so much more we could never even possibly fathom the comfort that we can receive from just being in right relationship with God. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. I want to encourage you this morning because I realize that we live in a very discouraging world. Right? It's difficult living for God. There's pressures for us to cave in all around us. Like Brother Boyer said in his Sunday school message this morning. I want you to understand this. This world is acceptant and tolerant of everything but you and me. We're the black sheep, the oddballs out. The bigots, the nasty guys. I mean, pretty soon they'll accept pedophiles and act like that's fine and dandy, but a Christian, oh, you can't go too far. I mean, that's really where the world's gotten, folks. But in the midst of these kind of surroundings, with the flesh, the world, and the devil constantly opposing us on every side, I want you to understand, God wants you to understand, there's some things that you can take comfort in. And when you'll just take the time to do what David said and you'll encourage yourself in the Lord, you'll find that comforting yourself in that way can be more important to your walk with God than you could ever possibly imagine. So here's what we're going to do. As we come around the altars, I understand we've all got needs. Okay, but let's take just a little bit of time this morning and just thank God that He has, like He said, not left us comfortless. But that He's come to us. Understand the significance of that statement. I won't leave you comfortless, but instead I'll come and I'll anoint you with everything that you'll ever need in your life. And I'll live inside of you every single minute of every single day. So whenever you need me, all you got to do is ask. He couldn't be any sweeter to us, folks. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name, Lord, and right now we want to publicly declare how much we love You and appreciate You for sending the Spirit of God to reside inside of our lives. Lord, we fully understand that in and of ourselves we could never even live for You. We wouldn't even have the desire, let alone the power. But because of this perfect provision that You've made for Your children's lives, You've sent the Spirit of God to come up and take up residence inside of us. And it has made all of the difference. Whenever the flesh fights, God, You cause the Spirit to rise up and to put it down back into its place where it belongs. when this world tries to get us to cave and turn around and be embarrassed because of the things that we believe, we have boldness, just like Peter did in the book of Acts, to stand upon the Word of God and still do what's right. When the devil comes and tries to present us and allure us with temptations to turn away from our faith altogether, it's your Spirit that rises up inside of our hearts and our lives and causes us to maintain and retain the victory rather than falling away from our faith like He would desire us to. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for this perfect provision that despite everything that we've done, You were still willing to accept us and draw us into Your fold. Fill us with Your Spirit and have every one of Your wonderful promises apply to our lives. And if we'll just seek after them, You'll prove every last one of them to be true. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's come and pray.